you ever sat out on a journey and found yourself going places you had never dreamed? Never dreamed. Places you never thought were possible. Throughout history, we have been accomplishing and experiencing more and more and more. It's pretty amazing to see how God has used mankind to create and develop incredible things. We're reaching new heights we never thought we could even reach before. I mean, we got private people sending their, whatever that guy's name is, that Elon Musk character. You could pay your way up into space now. Pretty soon you're going to be able to buy your way to the moon and say, hey, I'm going to go up and take the weekend. I don't know, but it's amazing to see all the things that are happening. And I'll be honest with you, there's no, for me, no better illustration of this than the snow machine. Now, I know some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. My wife said, you could use a better illustration. And I said, you know, I can't do that because I like snow machining. So here is the truth. In 1955, Polaris came out with a snow machine, the first production snow machine, and this is it right here. It was called the Snow King. I don't know about you, but that does not look like a Snow King. But in that day, the first one, it was a Snow King. It was great for traveling on flat ground. Man, it went faster than walking. And the guy who designed it, there's an article about it. There's a video out on his life. He's like, you know, we just wanted to go hunting and fishing and trapping out at the lake, and we were tired of walking. So we just decided to get in our garage and throw something together. And there you go. That's what you get when you throw something together. But then in the 70s, Polaris, man, they came out with the new snow machine. Mine was called the 340 Cobra. This is it right here. Oh, yeah. Listen, it was exciting. I could go fast. I couldn't go in very deep snow, but I could go fast, faster than walking for sure. Matter of fact, I won my very first snow machine race on a snow machine just like this in the Fuzzball in Seldovia. I thought I was the man. I loved snow machining. But it wasn't long before snow machines started to develop, and my next snow machine that I ever purchased was a Gen 1 Polaris RMK. Now, this one's black. Mine was custom painted yellow because they messed up an order or something. But it didn't matter. I got it on sale. But this was the one. It was the Rocky Mountain King. I could go places I never dreamed you could go. It was so incredible. But then, you know, it wasn't long before Polaris came out with another sled, and I had to have that one as well. And that was this one right here, the Vertical Escape. It was the RMK Vertical Escape. It was so much better than the one before. I was thinking to myself, how did this innovation and creativity and time create such an incredible sled? And then they came out with the 2009 Dragon. And man alive, I love that machine. As a matter of fact, I went out with a guy who had the other one, and I said, hey, drive this. He literally drove it. After we get in the truck, he went straight to the store and bought himself one of his own. He upgraded because this sled was, it was amazing. But then the RMK Pro came out. Oh, yeah, it was, you could just, you know, this wheelie before, but now we're doing this. And matter of fact, I still own an RMK Pro, several of them. We just went out this weekend. Amazing sleds. I mean, you could do things you never dreamed. You could go places you don't want to be. I mean, it's just scary. Trust me, if you've gone with me, a couple of the guys that went with me this weekend were like, what am I doing? That's okay, though, because this one is amazing. But then they came out with the 850 Chaos. Oh, man. Now this is the sled of all sleds. I'm talking 163, 3-inch paddles. You have no idea what I'm talking about. That's okay. This thing is so amazing. It rides like a dream. Rides like a dream. And this is the last sled I own. I own this one. But then, I'm waiting for my wife to say, okay, they came out with this next sled. Oh, my goodness. And it was so much better than my 340 Polaris. I mean, you can't imagine how far it has come. Now, check this out. This next sled is amazing. Now, I don't think we should ever envy in church. There should be no coveting. But I can tell you this, the sled that I once drove, it was great. And in its day, amazing. Today, not so amazing. Matter of fact, it's something we call an antique, a classic. Matter of fact, people buy those and go out together to remember how bad it was back in 1974. And go, oh yeah, I did that one time, and I thought to myself, never again, I am not driving this. You see, no one could ever imagine that snow machines would have traveled from 1955 to today. I'm sure in your life, your own mind, you're thinking to yourself, I cannot believe what I once witnessed, and now here we are. You see, time, technology, innovation take us on journeys that new heights that we never thought were possible. This is what happens in life. And I'm sure you have all experienced this. It's in some form or fashion. For some of you young people, it was a cell phone. It has advanced so quickly. But for others, you've seen incredible things. I remember meeting Crystal's great-grandmother who had traveled the Oregon Trail in her lifetime. Wow. Think about the things she has seen. You see, it doesn't really matter. It is everything around us that is changing. Or guess what it's doing? It's becoming stagnant and it's dying. Over the years, guess what? There have been 250 snow machine companies. That's shock. That's staggering. 250. Guess what? There are only 5 today. 5. Now, there might be some little companies, but there's really only 5, and really there's only 4 because the other one, it's terrible. And if you kick out Can-Am because they're awful, you know, you're down to 3. And then you get rid of Arctic Cat. Yeah, you're down to Polaris. I'm sorry, you guys that love Can-Ams. Only people I know who spend way too much to get so much, so little. That's all right. Listen, the question is why? Why? Because those who kept up with changing times remained. See, Polaris had to be innovative. They had to be risk takers. I mean, when you look at the risks these guys took, it's amazing. They never lost sight of their goal to produce the very best snow machine possible. They took advantage of their past, built on it to change the future. They adapted to changing times and the changing culture and the changing rider. Let's just face it. Just so you know, I would not be a snow machine rider if the only thing you did was drive to a lake and went fishing. I hate fishing, and I really don't like driving on lakes. I like to climb mountains or drive and go places that I get stuck and exhaust myself and those around me. That's what I like to do. You see, listen, Polaris never lost sight of their goal. They never lost sight of their vision. They were all about snow machines and making the best snow machine they could. I want you to tell you something. Today we're going to talk a little bit about churches being no different. Churches are no different. The reality is we all have a mission. We all have a vision. We all want to do God's will. The church was established, of course, we know, 2,000 years ago. Amen, by Christ himself. It's not changed. It is the body of believers that gather together. We come and attend together. The church is us. We are a family. The church is Christ followers who meet and organize in the best way possible to accomplish the will of God. It is a place that teaches the word of God. It is a place of community and fellowship, a place that develops Christ-centered world changers or disciples, as we talked about last year, a place that organizes and trains its people to share the gospel, a place of hope, a place that cares for the less fortunate, like Christ, the widow, the orphan, a place that represents salt, light, and the love of Christ. And this is what the church is all about. But the church has faced many dilemmas, just like the industry has faced. Dilemmas. The passing of time, the advancement of innovation, Satan's tools that come against us. Time is never to impact, listen to me, never to impact God's will for his church. However, it often does. I want you to think about this. It often does. We can, if you've been saved for a long time, you can look back and see churches who once preached the Bible, but now don't. Time, innovation, wanting to fit in. Churches once preached the gospel, but now they won't. Churches have become lukewarm over time. Churches have lost their first love. Revelation warns us of that. Churches have chase false teachings, false teachers, false gods. Churches who once were salt and light now have found themselves with no savor, and they have hidden their light. Churches that were once cities on a hill are now in valleys, covering themselves up. You see, it's our passion. It's my passion. It's our staff's passion. I believe it's your passion for this, to never allow time and innovation to change the calling that God has for our church. I hope that you understand today is all about this. You see, that is why we're always wanting to describe, define, communicate our mission, vision for the church. It's cultural, relevant words that agree with God's will for the church. Making changes to the method and presentation, but never changing our calling. Listen, innovative, creative, risk-taking, adjustments to culture, and willingness to change remain our highest priorities because we want to be the most effective church for Christ that we can be. We must be as wise as serpent, but remain as innocent as pure doves. Listen, we understand this. As you know, we have spent a lot of time and energy over the last 3 years since I've become the pastor, modernizing our gymnasium, our classrooms, our lobby, and we will continue to improve on this building as we realize that we are trying to get in tune with times. But more importantly, we have spent, listen to me, we have spent the last 3 years evaluating what we do and why we do it. Listen, when we stop asking the question what we do and why we do it, we start to lose focus. We start allowing time to allow us to hold on to things that we should be letting go of. And so we have done some things. What have we done? We have changed our worship presentation. We haven't stopped worshiping God, but we have changed our presentation. We have changed our preaching style. If you'll know, I preach a little different than the guy before me. I am moving around. I say a lot of stupid things. I'm me. So I am, okay? But I love God. I don't know what that was, but that's okay. Listen, we have made our church more welcoming by expanding our connection center and our coffee station, which some of you guys are just connected to. I need, now the future is going to be an IV in your seat. I probably could get funding for that. Oh my goodness, goodness, goodness. Wow. Listen, this is important to us. We have gotten more involved in the community. We've gotten supported more mission works locally and globally, and we are church on the move. We have spent the last year talking about what it means to be the salt, light, and city on a hill, and we have chosen that on purpose. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. This is the first. This is the calling. This is the first message of Christ. He says this, you are the salt of the earth in verse 13. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And we've spent the entire year talking about this. We learned that it requires us men and women to have integrity and to know our identity. It requires us to believe the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God. It requires us to be bold and fearless, mavericks for Christ. It requires us to be leaders who are committed to God's will, his vision, his mission. It requires us to be all in. And that's what the series we just finished. Why would we do all that? Because we are called to be what God has called us to be and be in his will. And that is why this year we are making some changes. We are beginning by clarifying our vision statement. Clarifying our vision statement. I want you, us as a church, to understand together what we are really all about. Our vision. What is it? Our vision is this. Transforming. It used to be transforming every Alaskan with the gospel. But you know what? I think there's so much more to that as we started studying this passage. I believe our vision is this. Transforming every Alaskan with the salt, light, and love of Christ. Salt, light, and love. It's not just the gospel because we have to make disciples. There's a lot we have to do. Salt, love, and light. Salt, light, and love of Christ. Not only that, I believe that our mission statement, we talked about this last year as well. We're going to change our mission statement to this. we make a big deal about following Jesus to, we develop Christ-centered world changes. Now, I just want you to know, I'm a little more energetic. I still like the part on there to be added on there. The people say, hey, you should make it short. My staff, I'm like, I like it long. I think it should be, we develop Christ-centered world changers to make a big deal about following Jesus. Yeah. I am so sick of us spending time cheering about everything else except following Jesus. Following Jesus should inspire everybody around us to be part of what we're doing. This is what we want to do. So, in light of those two incredible visions that I think this church is all about, we believe with a concise and more clarifying mission and vision, now is the right time to take another bold step forward, to bring clarity to who we are and where we are going. I believe it's time for us to change our name from the Anchorage Baptist Temple to Mountain City Church. Now listen, the reason is because I believe we are the salt, light, and love of Christ, the city on a hill. Now listen, I know this process is going to take us some time to complete. This is not a one-day announcement, and being everything you know is going to happen. But I want you to know, I believe this name matches who we are. Now I know, listen, right now there's a lot of mixed emotions in the room. I literally just dropped a brick on some of you. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Hoffman? Some of you are like, I am so excited, but I am so scared. What are you talking about? Some of you are apprehensive. Some of you don't know what to think. You are frustrated maybe at this time. Others are excited thinking it's about time. Don't cheer for that. There are a few of you that are hurt deeply because you're like me. You grew up here at this church, the Anchorage Baptist Temple. Men, you think we're killing a legacy. You are destroying our church. Matter of fact, many of you got saved in this church. But I want you to know that most people in this room probably are thinking, I'm not sure what that matters. Yeah, that's a big deal, but that doesn't really impact my life. And so today, I just want to take a moment. I want to take a moment and tell you the why. Why would we make such a bold move? Why would we do something so radical? It's pretty clear, but we're going to get to that in just a second. For some of you in this room, you are thinking in your mind, I just can't get past the fact that there'll be no more ABT, that the legacy will end. Listen, I want you to know something. I've been attending this church since 1984. I don't know of anybody in the room who has been involved in this church more than I. There are a few. I don't want to discredit their service. They have been amazing warriors for Christ. See, God has used this church and this school to transform my life. That's why I'm standing where I am today. I would not exist or be without this school and this church. The investment that the people made in my life radically transformed who I am. And because of that, after graduating in 1991, I became a full-time worker here at this church. Not only that, I look back in my high school days when I was at a Jerry Johnson crusade, when I gave my life to Christ. It was right here in this church. I bleed ABT. I love this place with my whole heart. But I want you to know something. Even though we have mentors, and I'll tell you what, I think of the guys who invested my life, the teachers that invested my life, the Ralph Grahams, the Randy Duttons, the Tom Cobas. I mean, I could go down the list of men who transformed my life. And then I could look at the churchmen that were here that transformed my life. I think of Glenn and Bill, Dan Richards, Ken Doan. Man, I think of Dr. Prevo and how he invested in my life. He poured into me. He gave me a chance. He made me believe that God could use me. These men are warriors to me. So listen. So I want you to know something. This decision to change the name has weighed heavy on my heart. But I know that without question, this is the right decision for us in the future. For those who are concerned our name will erase our legacy in history, I want to just talk to you for a moment. You see, this change, as you may see this change as disrespectful. And I want you to know I have some of the same concerns. I fear the name change would in some way diminish even my own history. I was fearful about the name change affecting who I am as a person. But then I recognized that every pastor, listen, every pastor that has pastored this church has changed the name of this church. I want you to think about that. It's fascinating. Because why? They had a calling that God had placed on their heart, and I truly believe that God has placed a calling on my heart. In 1956, this church was planted with a goal to proclaim the light of the gospel to Alaska. Right here it is. Now, in this photo, we have Dr. Prevo, Alan, which is hilarious, and Carol, his beautiful wife. However, in 1956, this church was located on the bar, and its founding pastor was Don White. Don White was the one who planted this church. Bible Baptist Church was its name. Did you hear me? Bible Baptist Church was its name. What's interesting is that Pastor White was sent not by a Bible Baptist church, but by a Grace Baptist church. And yet he felt like when he got to Alaska, the name needed to be Bible Baptist Church. He chose this name because it fit his mission and his vision at his time in history. And just so you know, he chose well. He chose well. And what's amazing is that Don's son, and his wife, and his grandson Taylor, and his wife still attend here today. Matter of fact, Taylor was playing in our worship team. That's how awesome the legacy of Don White is, right there. Now listen, in 1971, a young pastor, 26 years old, named Jerry Prevo, took the position as senior pastor. Now, I don't remember him when he was 26. Some of you guys did. Some said he was a little excited. See, Pastor Prevo had a new passion and a broader vision to reach all of Anchorage, to impact Alaska. Within 4 years, listen to this, within 4 years, he had moved the church to this new location from the bar, and after nearly 20 years of being called Bible Baptist Church, he changed the name to Anchorage Baptist Temple. You see, this name change didn't diminish Pastor White's work. It was building on the shoulders of him. A legacy was not ended, it was expanded. The name Bible Baptist Church had changed, but the church's calling continued with fervor and excitement. The influence of the church has expanded from the east side of Anchorage to the entire state of Alaska, and truly, I believe, the nation. This is our history, and we will never forget it. We work hard to get here. The church has seen tens of thousands of people to come to know Christ in the last 69 years, and we don't aim to change one piece of that history. Listen. How are we going to do that? It's so easy to say those words. There's something that we're going to do. So we are going to build on this main hallway on your right, out the door. We are going to build a history wall that tells the entire story of this church so that no one ever forgets where this church was and where it's going. Because we never want to forget our history. Our history is important. Our history is who we are. And our history is also going to be a part of where we're going. You see, our history matters, but our future, just so you know, matters more. We don't live for yesterday. We're living for tomorrow. And we want to have the greatest opportunity to share the gospel. Now listen, for some of you who are concerned, man, that church is getting liberal. I want you to know I am fully committed to preaching the whole word of God. Now, you might be thinking that because, listen, don't clap yet. You might be thinking, listen, the reason why you might be thinking that is because you took the word Baptist out of the name. Okay? Now, listen. We are not becoming something else. We believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God. We believe it is all true. Not a piece of it, not a part of it, not a corner of it, all of it. We have seen churches change their names and water down their Bible so that they would be more accepted by the world. I promise you, this is not a part of our decision. We are not looking to avoid conflict. We will preach the whole Word of God. We will continue to teach, preach, and believe the fundamental doctrines of the faith as we always have, and we will not compromise them in any way. We will believe that, again, the Bible is inerrant, the Word of God, and the name change will never change that. Matter of fact, I want you to know, I'm giving you permission. If I become so senile that I stop preaching the Word, I hope the deacons fire me immediately. This is what I'm telling you. I have no desire to be a part of this church to try to make it socially acceptable. Okay? That's not the reason. Now, you might be thinking, why not just keep the old name? It's worked for lots of years. And you know what? It has. It's true. It is a great name, and it's a great question. But I want you to know something. One of the things that we're realizing in the 2023 and where we see the generations going is the names are starting to affect and create barriers that prevent someone from attending church. I don't know how many times I have heard, wow, I wasn't expecting this, or I wasn't going to come, but somebody dragged me. How many other people are just not coming? See, I was speaking with Dr. Prevo last week about the name change, and he mentioned in 1974, the word temple in the Baptist denomination was a thriving movement and was impacting nations for Christ. I mean, it was tearing things up. And he's like, listen, there's no better name than the movement that's happening. I want to name the name Anchorage Baptist Temple. It was a good reason. He wanted to be part of something that was happening. However, he and I had to agree that the word has lost its place in our culture today. Unfortunately, it has become a hindrance. The word temple is more associated with false religions today than about the true meaning that it was created for. A word that once enhanced the church's vision now hinders it. And we often hear today those words. I would never darken the doors of that. I don't know what that thing is over there. Matter of fact, some of you guys and yourselves would say, you know what? I almost never came here, but then I met somebody. Listen, I don't want to have to be that way. I want people to hear our name and say, I want to be a part of that. I want to see what they're all about. I don't want a name to get in the way. Listen, we even evaluated the word Anchorage in our name. Now, I want you to understand this. We've talked a little bit about this in the past. Our vision for reaching Alaska is, just so you know, greater than Anchorage. I don't know if you're aware of that, because we have already become a statewide church. And we need to make sure that our name matches what we're doing and where we're going. Our past has placed us here. It's not even our choice. We have become in this place. See, we believe our expanded vision leads us to, I've already shared this, planting churches as well as satellite campuses throughout our Alaskan communities. You see, we think the word Anchorage is limiting in scope. It is not broadening us in scope. It's not giving us greater opportunities. And just so you know, we have some crazy things we're about to talk about that I believe we want to be in the future, because God is using you. God is making a difference in this church. Listen, truthfully, we thought it best to return to the basics and call ourselves what Jesus called us, because I don't know about you, but it's kind of a good model. Guess what he called us? The church. He called us a church. See, the church removes barriers that still makes it clear that indeed we are a church, not a country club. We're not a social club. We're a church. You'll hear me preach, and I say what? Hey, church, that's you. That's me. We are a church. We are not woke. We are not part of an emergent movement. No, we are God's church, and we desire to change our name to expand the kingdom of God beyond Anchorage, Alaska. I'm telling you, we have a bold new vision, direction from where those before us has brought us to and where we're going to go from here. So the last question, and this is a great one, why in the world Mountain City Church? I mean, we're only at 300 feet above sea level, you know. Great question. Just so you know, the name came from one of our staff members' wives. She was doing something, and she mentioned the name, and somebody heard the name and moved, but before you know it, I'm like, wow, that's a great name. Listen, the reason has stuck with us because of one reason and one reason only. We believe our name should directly connect to the vision of the church. Let me hear this. I want you to hear this. We believe our name is directly connected to our vision. Our vision is to transform every Alaskan with the salt, light, and love of Christ. And what does he continue to say after this? Like a city on a hill. That word should be better translated, a city on a mountain. I wish it was there. It'd make it a little easier. We are to be a city on a mountain that cannot be hidden. And that's why we felt we should be Mountain City Church. Now listen, without compromising our 68-year legacy from our mission church called Baptist Bible Church and a powerful influence for God in Alaska called Anchorage Baptist Temple, we believe the name Mountain City will reflect that we are what we were, what we've become, and where we're planning to go. And church, I want you to know something. I truly believe this from the bottom of my heart. You see, we are a statewide force for Christ. If you did not know that, welcome to 2023. We are going to be salt and light, a source for Christ-centered rule changers who are living and sharing salt, light, and the love of Jesus. This is what we want to do. And you know what? I don't believe there's any Christian here who does not believe that's our calling, to be the salt, light, and love of Christ. This is why we get together. This is why we rejoice. This is why we praise God. This is why we learn the truth. This is why we train ourselves. This is why we're equipped. We are equipped to do this. We were here, brought here together at this time in the history to make a difference in our world. See, for this reason, and this reason alone, we believe Mountain City Church, a city on a hill, is the right name. Now listen, I know, again, that's a lot to think about. And you're going to take some time to process it. But I want you to know something. I am excited about where we are going. And why I'm excited? Why I'm excited? Well, that's what I want to talk about right now. We are launching several new initiatives. One of them, again, we have spoken about before. We're calling it this, the Gospel Project Alaska. We want to share the gospel with every Alaskan in person or by name. This is our vision, this is our mission, this is what we're all about. Listen, we're gonna talk today about our 7-year goals and our goals for this year. In 2023, we're wanting this, I've shared this already, we wanna share the gospel with 4,000 people in Alaska directly by name. The complete gospel from creation to resurrection to second coming, and I'm asking each one of you to commit to doing that. We need over 1,000 of you guys, 1,000 of you to commit to sharing the gospel with 4 people this semester, this year. So I'm telling you, in your hand, hopefully you received a card. Hopefully you've received a card. I want everyone in this room today to fill this card out. To fill this card out and say, listen, I want to share the gospel. I want to be part of this initiative. I want to be a part of sharing the gospel with the 4,000 people in Anchorage, Alaska, or Alaska, or anywhere. Now, what I'm asking you to do is this. I want you to put your name, phone number, email, so we can be talking with you about this. And I want you to mark the box, I will share the gospel with 4 people. Now, listen, if you don't know 4 people that are unsaved, I got a solution for that. You just say, right there, I need a name. This is what we're going to do. We're going to pull every name of every adult in Alaska. We're going to put it in a database, and we're going to start going through that database, sharing the gospel with everyone. This is what we're going to do. We are going to tell all of Alaska the truth about God's love and who he is. This is what we want to accomplish. That is only, listen, that's just so you know, that's only 1 person a quarter, 1 person every 3 months that you can engage in this conversation. This is what we want to do. But it's not just that. The Gospel Project is also telling and inviting people to church. We want to challenge every one of our members to invite 1 person to church in person a month. Now you might say, wow, that's difficult. And I would say, really? I would challenge you on that. If you have never invited somebody to church, I would ask you why. You see, we believe in sharing the gospel with the gospel. We also invite them to where we are so that we can be part of their growth and their seeing who Christ is and what he's all about. Now listen, I want to inspire every church member in all of Alaska right now that's watching, because I promise you social media just blew up, to share the gospel with four people, and not only that, to invite somebody to church. This is our goal. This is what we want to do. As an organization, this is what we are going to do. We are going to invite every person in Anchorage to church via social media, TV, or any fashion possible. We are committed to God's church. We are committed to growing his kingdom, and we want you to play your part. If you're willing to make that commitment with us, there's another place on there that says, listen, I'm going to be an ambassador for church and personally invite one person a month. I would love for you to make a commitment and check that box. Now listen, what's our 7-year goal in all this? What am I really telling you? What am I telling you about our new name, our new direction, and what we're doing? What am I saying? Listen, we want to tell 300,000 people the gospel and invite them to church between now and 2030. And we are looking for other churches to partner with us to do this. Because just so you know, let me tell you a little secret. We're not the only church God uses. Don't let that out. We're not the only church God uses. We want to inspire. Remember we talked about our strategy? Inspire, capture, and inspire every church in Alaska to share the gospel and invite people to church. Wow, what a genius thought. Because we believe it will revolutionize our community. Listen, I believe because we're going to do this, we are going to be planting churches throughout this state. I believe because we're going to do this, we will be having satellite churches around South Central, at least to start, and maybe in the bush. We'll see how it goes. We are excited about where we're going and what we're doing, and it's all building on the shoulders of the people who came before us and sacrificed and paid the ultimate price. This is where we believe God is calling us. Our second initiative is this. We're going to sum it up under Impact Alaska. We had a different name. I've changed it on them. I want you to think about Impact Alaska. I want to think about how we bring light to our state. One of the ways in which we're going to do that is focus on the things we do well. What do we do well? What are some of the things we do? It's time for us to be on the offensive, first of all. It's time for us to be reactive instead of proactive. I feel like the church is always fighting from behind. They are never fighting from in front. We feel that our mission is to be on the offense, to bring light to our community and making an even greater investment in three areas, areas we're already involved with. First is this, Recovery Alaska. We believe we have the best recovery program that's Christian-based in the state of Alaska. And I'm telling you, it's because we have a rock star, Tony Smith, running it. Listen, his team, Brian Dunphy and Don Barnhart and all of his volunteers are absolutely rock stars. And you want to know what? We can invest in other people and what everybody else is doing, but I thought it's about time we invested what we already know we're good at. And so we are going to invest in Recovery Alaska. Listen, we want to start new groups so we can do great things with more people. People are hurting, if you didn't know. People are struggling. People are coming out of prison and falling back into prison. We want to do everything that we can to help the ones that are less fortunate. Just so you know, this is where Jesus went. Tony said he'd like to start 5 new groups: divorce care for men, women, cancer care for men and women, sexual addiction for women. He has a great vision for what he wants to do, but I think his vision for 2030 is even amazing. And I need him to lose 20 more years of his life. Like, he needs to become like 38 again. So if any of you want to be part of this ministry, I would encourage you to be involved. What does that look like? Our goal is to find an off-site campus for Recovery Alaska. Listen, you say, why'd you do that? You want to bring people to church. Yeah, we do. We do. But we know this, that people are more likely to go get help if it's not on campus. Number one. Number two, right now they can only meet one night a week. There is so much going on here. Have you ever walked by this place or drove by this place? There's cars in the parking lot constantly. And because of this, we believe that an offsite place will be best suited for what we want to do. I believe we will transform and bring light to those who need light more than any other if we choose to do this. Now, I think it's going to take us some time. We're going to have to raise some money. We're going to have to be fully committed. But recovery is where we're going to invest. The next goal is this. Impact Alaska, we are going to start a new ministry called Light Up Alaska. Light Up Alaska is this. We need to go on the offensive by presenting moral truth and biblical values in a positive light. I am so sick and tired of television. I am so sick and tired of social media. I am so sick and tired of everything evil and wicked and anti-God. We have got to start producing something that fights this garbage. Listen, we have the leverage, the resources, the television, the production. We have the tools necessary, listen, to put out content that fights this garbage. And we're going to start. We are making a commitment to it. We have got to start impacting our culture. If I see another commercial about somebody pro-choice and not one that says, you want to know what? Life is valuable. You're breathing, aren't you? We don't do anything like that. The moral issues matter. Values that are for life, for family. Values are about honesty and integrity. Moral values, work, justice. We want to present the truth about what God says about issues in more places than right here. We've got to go out there. We're not fighting on the same field. We're in here fighting against ourselves. And they're out there smashing us because they're fighting in a different playing field. And we've got to decide we want to get involved. We are going to educate and organize Christian Alaskans to defend biblical values that have been under attack for years, build strong relationships with organizations who share our same objectives. We aim to influence civic leaders that stand for truth and fear God. This is what we want to do. Now listen, listen up. Some of you guys, I don't even know what that all looks like. Guess what? I'm not sure I know what it all looks like. I just know this. God has laid on my heart that we have an opportunity in 2023 to start being salt and light where people see it. And it's not just a bunch of hate language. Because just so you know, our calling is to love people. Love people. The Bible is not something we run from, it's something we run to. Listen, we believe there is no greater investment we can make than expanding our influence than that of Anchorage Christian Schools. Our third impact in Alaska. Now, I don't know if you realize how we have lost our country. But let me just give you a little secret. It's called school. Just, no shock. The school has turned its back on God. And we know this. This is the third area which we already do well. We have been educating students for over 50 years, and it's time that we build on a strong foundation. And so because we are changing our name, we are changing the name of our school to Mountain City Christian Academy. It will not take place until the fall. Why are we changing the name? For similar reasons. We have a crazy goal to reach the next generation Our objectives are to continue to improve on the first-class education, to make our school more accessible to more students, to explore opportunities for remote campuses and satellite campuses, for the purpose of developing the next generation of Christ-centered world changers, who will be, by the way, the next spiritual leaders of Alaska. Our big, hairy, audacious goal, do you know what that is? The BHAG? That is Dr. Falwell's statement to me in college. That's all we heard was about his BHAG. Guess what? Liberty University, when I was there, was 2,300 students. It is now over 100,000. Why? Because he had a BHAG. He was committed. And he would do anything it takes to be the greatest Christian college in the country. So what is our goal? What kind of crazy ideas are we talking about? Well, man, we want to double our enrollment in the next 7 years. Double it. We're going to do whatever it takes. We're going to provide an opportunity for teens in rural Alaska, to attend here at Mountain City Christian Academy. I don't know what that looks like yet. I don't know if I have to find volunteers that will house them, or I don't know whether that means we're going to build dormitories. But we want to reach rural Alaska with the gospel, and we want to give them an alternative that is Christian-based and not worldly-based. Our dreams are big. Not only that, listen. Woo! We want to start a community college. In the public sector is not where we want to be. We send our kids to the secular schools, and they are bombarded with garbage. And we want to be part of what that looks like. We want to give them at least a year or two where they can grow in their faith and develop into Christ-centered world changers. Woo! Just so you know, that's just a start. Nobody ever accused me of having a lack of vision for the future. I am telling you, I believe God has called us to make a difference. That brings us to the last initiative, Mountain City Life. Mountain City Life. What do I mean by Mountain City Life? A place where people can find hope, a place where people know your name. That's what this church should be all about. A place, listen to this, where everyone is on a team or in a group. Everyone is on a team or in a group. What do I mean by that? Listen, you were designed. Listen to me. You were designed by God for this moment to pour in to this church and make a difference with the gospel, to develop Christ-centered world changers, disciples of Christ. That's what you were called to do. And so what are we going to do about this? We've got to do something. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have 100 new serve teams. Listen, we're going to break this church down, and no longer is it going to be, hey, you can only be part of the nursery or Sunday school, because some of you are thinking, there is no way I'm going there. So we are going to develop, at least, we're hoping, 100 serve teams, 100 places where you can use your gift for the benefit of God's work in this church so we can make a difference in this state with the gospel. This is what we're going to do. And I'm telling you guys, it's exciting. Not only that, we plan on launching 3 new community groups and 50 small groups, because what do we believe? We believe that circles are better than rows. And by the way, I know some of you in this room are talented when it comes to teaching. You probably could take my job, but you're not. That came out completely wrong. I did not finish that sentence. But you're not teaching. And so listen to me. All right, I just lost you. It's over. Listen. We've got to stop being afraid of what we cannot do and trust God for what God wants to use us to be. We've got to stop. Stop making an excuse why you can't get involved, why you can't teach, why you can't be part of a group, why you can't. It's not going to work with God. He wants you to be in a group, encouraging, investing, and being invested in. This is what we want to do. You see, We are a church on the move. And just like snowmobiles originally got you to hunt and fish, now that snow machine can take you to the top of mountains. And I believe God is going to take us to the next peak. God is going to work through you to make a difference in Alaska like we have never seen. And we want to always value the past, but we've got to look to the future. Listen, we have taken advantage of creative and innovative technologies ever since 1956 to 1971 to 2023. We are moving in an upward direction with new name, new initiatives, new energy, new innovation, and new passion. We are asking you a simple question. Will you invest with us? Because I believe God is moving. He is transforming every Alaskan with the salt, light, and love of Christ through you. Through you. God is using you. Now, some of you listening are thinking to yourselves, I'm not sure God is using me like that. I'm not sure that God is using to be salt and light. Matter of fact, you might be thinking, I still think back to the past a lot and I dream about what once was. I want you to remind you of a verse that Jesus said. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, he said this, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I don't ever want to be a pastor who's always looking back to what we were, what we used to do, what we should have done. I want to look to the future about what God has for you and me. It's my passion. It's my heart. It's my vision to honor Don White and Dr. Prevost. I am here standing on their shoulders because they are great men of God. Great men of God who did amazing things. And I can't wait to see what you're going to do in the next 20 years if God tarries. It's going to be like looking at a 1971 snow machine and a Chaos 850. That's what you are going to do to Alaska. We are going to change the world. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, and you just heard the craziest sermon of all time, the hardest sermon I have ever given in 4 years, by far, trying to change the direction of a church that is solidly founded in an incredible, rich tradition and history. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I just want you to know something. Names mean nothing. Jesus means everything. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, if you're here today and you don't understand that God created you to have a relationship with you in the garden, and man rejected him, turned his back on God, but God loved them so much, mankind, you and I, that he sent a Savior, Jesus Christ. He sent him to come and live a perfect life, sinless. He sent him to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin, because all of us are sinners and we all need a Savior, and I am no different. But the Bible says this, if you believe in Jesus, that he rose from the dead, if you believe that he is the Son of God, if you believe and confess that he's the Lord of your life, the Bible says that you will receive eternal life. You will have a relationship restored back to the Creator that we once had in the garden. And why is this so important? Because the last part, God is coming back. Hallelujah. And he doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to find him. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, if you're here today and you've never found Jesus, I want to ask you, will you confess him today? Will you give your life to him today? Will you believe and have faith that he died on the cross and rose for your sins today? Because if you will, he wants to give you everlasting life. And that's all it takes.